all that money. Yeah, the money that they spent. Take another look and take some time for him. Don't cut trees for paper, cause it hurts the environment. Stop deforestation, yeah, it's time for him. An acre of hemp makes 20 barrels of oil. No need for pesticides to poison all our soil. People got no food, they got no clothes, they got no rent. Well, it's time for hemp. Yeah.
Thank you for taking time for hemp. I'm your host, Casper Leach. You are listening to the live broadcast of Time for Hemp all around the world on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and on AM/FM stations all across America. I want to give a big shout out to all my friends up in Canada at KDK Distributors and thank them for being a strong and supporting group of people and for the grant that they give us to keep us loud and proud. I also want to say hello to Al up there. Hi, Al Graham, and all of my friends there at Treating Yourself magazine. I would encourage you to go to treatingyourself.com. Get two copies of the magazine, one for you and one for a friend. On the program today, we are reaching around the world and outside the box of America. And we are going to New Zealand today. And we have on the program as a joint host and guest, Vinnie Eastwood, who has a program here on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Vinnie, thank you for taking time for hemp.
Well, I often take time for hemp because it is one of the most important topics out there, isn't it? This is like 7 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday for me, right? And you guys think it's like, afternoon on a Friday, you know? You're about to start your weekend happening. Mine's already started, but I'm up at 7 a.m., so it kind of puts a bummer on the whole thing, right? I used to host my show a little earlier around this time slot. I had to get up at 3 a.m. That's how weird it is being on the other side of the world and doing radio with America, man. So, yep. I'm always willing to get up early to take time for hemp.
Well, and you're almost a full day ahead of me where I'm at. It's just 10 o'clock Friday morning.
Ooh, I hate the time zoning difference. You know what I mean? Like, we have American guests on the show, and sometimes it gets really confusing about which day we're talking about, which time zone we're talking about. There's four time zones in the United States. There's one in New Zealand, and then there's other people over in the UK where it's like midnight or something around the same. It's just absolutely crazy. But the one thing that gives me comfort is that I know it's at least 4:20 somewhere.
Amen. It certainly is. And that is one of the problems I have, too, as an American host. This program is global. We have a lot of listeners in Japan and China, oddly enough, and all across Canada and New Zealand and Amsterdam. And when I have guests on from around the world, yes, I have to play the time zone game myself.
We are slaves to the time zone. Who invented the friggin' time zones, man? And should everything should just have like one time, and it's like now.
Well, one thing I do want to take time for is to find out what's going on in the hemp movement and in the world of marijuana in New Zealand. And I think that's something you can probably fill us in on. And then we also want to talk more about your program and let my audience know how fantastic it is. But before we do that, as usual, we have to pay our bills. So we're going to take a commercial break here. Please tell our sponsors that you heard about them on our program. Pack a great big bowl, and when we come back, we're going to learn more about Vinnie Eastwood here at Time for Hemp.
Yeah. chocolate cake makes my poor stomach ache. And all those pills are too much for me to take. I don't like cocaine cause it makes me all uptight. But coffee and reefer makes me feel all right. Crystal methyl.
Yeah, baby, coffee and reefer does make me feel all right.
Going 5 days without sleep. Acid makes you say stupid.
And you are listening to the live version of Time for Hemp all around the world on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. On the program today, we are celebrating the marijuana movement all around the world. And there is a normal chapter, oddly enough, in so many different places of the planet, including New Zealand, where our guest is from today. He also has a great program on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And his name is Vincent Eastwood. Vinny, thank you for taking Time for Hemp.
Oh, thank you very much. Hey, I've been the cameraman for the Dactory for a number of years. In fact, since before the Dactory opened. For those of you unfamiliar with what the Dactory is, go to the Dactory, thedactory, like a DAC factory, .org.nz or NZ. And basically, right there on the front page is a video that I made for the Dactory called Welcome to the Dactory, where we have Dr. Green, the man who started the Dactory, explaining what the Dactory is, what Dactivism is, who a Dactor could be, various other Dact things, and swizzly bees.
So what is the Dactory? And just tell us a little bit about it. We were going to have him on today as a guest, but he is such a hero that he's busy helping earthquake victims in your country. But we certainly want to be able to promote his hard work.
Well, you know, there's a fix to this situation because conveniently, I've been the cameraman of the Dactory. I've made quite a few videos of Dr. Green speaking. And we have a short one here. It's just a welcome to the Dactory that we can play so that you can hear Dr. speak and have him actually say for himself what the Dactory is about. But before I play that, what I really wanted to say was what Dr. Green is doing today. Last night, there was an enormous tsunami around Japan. And about a couple of weeks before, there was an enormous earthquake in Christchurch of New Zealand in the South Island. There's about three islands in New Zealand. I mean, the bottom one doesn't really count. We just call them the North Island and the South Island for short. And it flattened the city, something chronic. There is a lot of damage down there. And so Dr. Green has loaded up the bus that they've got with food, water, and a heck of a lot of marijuana. And they're going to go down and offer their support to the relief effort by dispensing their donations to the community who lost their groves in the earthquake. So
that's very kind of him to take time out of his life to do that.
Oh, it's a 24-hour-a-day job for Dr. Green. I mean, the Dactory is actually his home. It's a club for cannabis smokers, and essentially, the idea is to get everybody together and just live like it's legal. So I wanted to just play that clip of him here now for you,
okay,
so you can hear the Dactor speak. Hold on, just a moment. And then we'll get the show.
Oh, I see. You're well prepared. That's what I like about the radio show host in the freedom movement. Between hitting the pipe and hitting the buttons, we're not sure what we're doing sometimes.
Dr. Green, and I run the Dactory. The Dactory is a home for Mary Jane. In our country, we use the nickname DAC to mean cannabis. So we are a group of Dactivists that have gathered together in a place called the Dactory, and here we keep Mary Jane, our cannabis, and we plan our activities to go out and change the law. DAC is a name that I invented to flow on from the nickname of DAC. DACers are people that I've met throughout the country that have joined this movement to change the law. DACers are people that enjoy our cannabis culture, and they believe that cannabis should be legally available for adults. There are thousands of us. The DACery is open 5 days a week, and it's an opportunity for our members to come by and not only deal with the serious issues of law reform, planning new posters and campaigns, but it also is a place that has games of fun, foosball, we have a pool table, ping pong, darts, overhead projector for watching of movies. It's a nice relaxing atmosphere for people to come and enjoy their favourite pastime. We expect to see a lot more people. It's like a J-Day every day, if you will. That's the factory. Fun, friendly, good atmosphere, a place to kick back and relax with your friends. We charge $20 a month for membership. There's a minimum of 12-month membership required when people sign up, and it's paid by automatic debit payment on a monthly basis. $20 a month, we're open 5 days a week, that equates to about a dollar a day. Pretty reasonable, I think. As a club seeking to effect law change, there will be times when our members, of course, break the law in public and may face prosecution. The DACery members are united as one. We will not stand for any more arrests, and anybody that comes after our members, we will retaliate. We will rally to the courts. We will clog the system. Arrests for cannabis are over. The DACery and the DACery members have declared it. The foundation wall is designed for the first 420 members of this club to commit to a 12-month membership. We'll receive a block on the wall where they may decorate it to their own design. It will be quite a unique artwork that will reflect that we have 420 members that have made a commitment to effective law change. DACery is a safe haven for adults, that is, over 18 years of age, to come and partake in their favourite pastime. There is no dealing at the DACery. It is strictly a bring-your-own policy. We are very strict on the rules. There is no alcohol or consumption of alcohol or any drunk people that are permitted in the DACery. Neither are drugs permitted. We're not hard to find. We're just a few minutes from the city. New Lynn. Drive down Stock Street, you're looking straight at us. 80 Delta Avenue is our address. Come by and see us during opening hours. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we open at 6 p.m. till midnight. Saturday, we're open 12 till 12. That's noon till midnight. And Sunday, we're open 12 till 8. Let's go change the law.
So you can see that the DACery's kind of been open for quite some time now. They've been raided once in the time that they've been open, and Dr. Green was charged with an awful lot of things, but proving whether or not he had anything to do with these plants or something along those lines while they were in his home might be difficult for the police.
All right.
Now, so it's basically a cat and mouse game, isn't it, when activists directly take on the law? Because what they've done now, they've set up a dispensary that operates very openly. They have take credit cards and all of that the stuff, you know. And it doesn't matter to them what the police think anymore, because they just live like it's legal. You know, you walk in, you pay your membership fee, and then you can use the dispensary, you can use the club facilities such as the pool table or play spacey games or watch whatever's on the projector or listen to some music. You know, there's innumerable amount of things at the DACery. There's Wi-Fi, so you can check your email while you're there, your Facebook, whatever.
Nice.
It is a really, really cool place, man. And there's a stage too as well. You know, if you want to bust out your guitar, if you've got a good singing voice or something like that, you want to get up and sing everybody a song. You know, absolutely, not a problem.
All right. Now, yeah. My question is, we got the Dectory in there. First of all, I got a couple of people send me IMs wanting to know how it's spelled and how to find it on the net.
Okay. But,
we also want to know how rigid and strict are the laws there in New Zealand? I mean, if you get caught with a joint, are you hauled off to jail, an ounce, a pound? Do they just slap you on the wrist? Does the officer sit down and pack a bowl with you? What?
Okay. It's a little bit of column A and a little bit of column B. You never know your chances. A friend of mine, he had an ounce taken off him by a police officer on the side of the road up in Northland, which is famous for having lots and lots of weed around, man. And when he noticed the police officer rolling a cigarette, he had the cardboard ripped off of his packs of papers like you do when you're making roaches for your joints.
right.
yeah. So it's pretty widespread, and the police benefit an awful lot from the drug trade, because hey, it gives them an excuse to search anybody for anything. I smell pot.
Right.
Oh, yeah. And the law and such, it's very, very intolerably enforced here, quite frankly. We have the highest arrest rate per capita in the world.
Really?
And yeah.
Say that again.
We have the highest arrest rate for cannabis per capita in the entire world. New Zealand does.
More than the United States?
More than the United States. I mean, it's like in terms of per person, like the United States, for example, has hundreds of thousands of people in prison, maybe even millions for pot, whereas New Zealand's only got like 700. But we're only a population of 4 million, so, you know, proportions stack up, apparently. But the fact of the matter is we do have a lot of cannabis use in this country, and the laws are imposed very discriminatorily. Like, for example, I questioned a police officer once about what he looks for when he looks for cannabis smokers to arrest.
And what did he say?
Well, without batting an eyelash, he said groups of males under 25.
Groups of men under 25?
If they look like they're under 25 years of age and there's a group of them, bust them for cannabis.
Wow. We need to start sending groups of Mormons to your country just to play with their minds.
Well, see, playing with a cop's mind is sometimes a very dangerous game because, I don't know, cops
low
are like
IQ.
A box. Well, in New Zealand, the cops are a lot more respectful than those in the United States. For example, A1, they don't have tasers and guns and things of that nature. They're not terrifically brutal, although they can and are on occasion if you either A, get one that just has a personal vendetta against you for some reason, like if the top cop says, oh, these people are scum, you need to treat them really badly or something like that, they probably will because they follow orders very well. That's what a good public servant does.
All right.
That's not their job. It's not their job.
Do they kick in doors like they do? Do they kick in doors like they do here when they're going after somebody on a marijuana raid and taking a 40 men in black suits and smoke bombs?
Even if you are a grandmother, but they don't blow things away, you know, things like that. You know, they I mean, they might kick in the door, yeah, but they're not going to throw flashbangs and have copious amounts of guns and everything like that. Because if they needed all that weaponry to just attack somebody, like in New Zealand, we don't have standoffs because, we've had a few, like very, very occasionally. And armed forces get called to places, but it's very, very rarely for cannabis or anything like that because we don't have copious amounts of armed people in this country who are willing to shoot at police. I mean, there's just too much respect for law and order. But that respect for law and order gets undermined every day by the foolish laws that make it a crime and make you criminal, but for having cannabis. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. There is, under common law, you've got to wonder where is the separation here? We have common law rights. For example, if I don't hurt nobody or damage nobody's property, the law ain't got nothing to say to me because there's no victim. Okay, there's no reparation to be paid. If somebody purchases some cannabis and then uses some cannabis and then gets sleepy and falls on the couch, where is the victim? I fail to see the connection here.
Right.
You know, it should be cause and effect, but the cannabis laws are not cause and effect. But on occasions, they do get very interesting. When the daiquiri first got raided, and this is the only time it has been raided, and it's been open about 2.5-3 years now, the police took everything. Okay, they took all the cameras, all the computers, and all the cannabis plants that were growing around all over the place. So I'm just like maybe 20 plants scattered about the plants decorative. Oh. You know, it's a club setting, and everything kind of shut down for a couple of months.
Okay.
Now the reason why the police raided is because on their 1 year anniversary, the media were invited to the daiquiri, and they got a front page story in the local newspaper. And then the big media got wind of this and went to ask the police head honchos about what they're doing about this evil little cannabis club that's opened up in West Auckland. You know, it's just in a light industrial area, and it's got a big factory-looking thing in green and yellow and red that says the daiquiri on the front of it.
You know? Can't miss it.
You know, it's not exactly trying to hide from anybody. It's pretty freaking obvious that it's there. And right. And it's got the legalized cannabis bus parked outside it and, you know, slogans on other cars. It's got like a little fleet of vehicles that are painted in green and yellow and red stripe, you know. It's a pretty professional looking operation when you look at it, man. It's absolutely incredible what they've got going on in there. And everybody who's come in as a member of the daiquiri has been able to bring a flag of their home country if they wish to display it. And there are something... 40, 50 different flags up there, man. It's unbelievable. It's something about weed that brings people together, that makes them forget about all the differences that we have so that we can just sit down, have a bowl together.
Absolutely. Like we're doing now on Skype, but still around the world, we're doing it shoulder to shoulder in the same foxhole, and it rocks. I tell you, it's an honor to have a bright mind like you from your country to join the American Freedom Radio Network, and I love your program, and I want people to fall in love with you and your show as I have. And we're also going to take a commercial break and jam out to some great music after that, and then return with Vinnie Eastwood here at Time for Hemp.
Smoke it and be wise. We not done no freeze. Them a question Babylon can't answer. Why them a lock me brother just ya flip on ganja? We no need them things, so we no need them sponsor. Yo, fire up on all informer. With them crack and coke, me no say them can go further. Push niggle in on them vein before them a commit murder. So why Babylon walk come fight against Rasta? Aye, them can't judge a book by the cover. Boys.
poison, there is a killer. Me stay away from chemical things, me smoke the sense of million. Illegal is the thing that you can do alone. They tell the youth to stay away from Babylon and from Rome. Planters say them build against some weed. While coke and weapon run back them bling bling. We tell them say we live upright. Just this love and no fight. Give us the light and everything will be so bright. Me say a food in me brain. Smoke before me touch the stage. Smoke it in the train and in the private plane. A plant and no powder but them still a complain. Just on a go play them game. What do you know? Them better cool and relax. Them don't want the ghetto youth fi grow them locks. Them can't chat. Them can't compound with spot. Show me here the boy a go chat from Mamba. Them a need that. Them pray fi see we drop. But Jaja give me the strength so we no matter about that. We now flop. Smoke it, no matter stop. Forward we moving, we not go step back. But why them I fight? When the crack and the coke destroy the world, why them I fight the earth? When the crack I kill we boys and girls, why them I fight the earth? When the crack and the coke destroy the world, why them I fight the earth? No do no wrong, say it now, do no hurt.
Thank you for taking Time for Hemp. I'm your host, Casper Leach. You are listening to the live version of Time for Hemp all around the world on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and on AM FM stations all across America. I want to give a big shout out to all of my friends in New Zealand and let them know that we really appreciate their hard work as marijuana activists and do get involved in the New Zealand Normal, NORML.org. And the program today, we have my dogs in the studio. Everybody say roof, roof. And on the program, we also have one of the hardworking activists from Texas joining us, Dean Becker with the drugtruth.net. And we have another hardworking activist and host of his own broadcast here on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, Vinny Eastwood. Gentlemen, thank you for taking Time for Hemp.
Hey, Casper, thank you for this chance to talk to your audience and to Vinny and to just kick some truth around.
Kicking truth around like a soccer ball or a football, as the case may be.
Yeah. We're.
Well, now, I hear that you're growing it there in the dank tree, and everybody's down there smoking it, so it must be a pretty cool place to come down there and party out then, huh? I mean, apparently the cops aren't that hard, and it's pretty liberal. Is it kind of like Amsterdam or what?
Well, you know, it's always scary when a cop pulls you up and you've got pot. You know, I'll say that much because the fact of the matter is, even though they may not kind of destroy everything that is, you know, like take all your car or your house or anything like that away, there's now laws passed where drug dealers can in fact have stuff that they supposedly may have bought with their drug proceeds confiscated and sold off by authorities. You know, so they could like sell your car or your house or something like that if they busted you for dealing. And they could just project how long you'd been dealing or something like that and say, oh, well, they must have dealt $500,000 worth of pot out of this small little two-bedroom flat or something like that. You know, it's just ridiculous. It leaves the door wide open for terrible things to happen. And I believe that's what the drug war is really about, is just throwing the doors open so you can make a terrible influence on society. And the Daiquiri kind of stands against that. The bus that they've got there is a 52-foot-long 1960s Bedford bus, man. This is a classic. And she's done in green and yellow and red stripe. And she cruises around. She's done several tours of New Zealand, done tens of thousands of kilometers in her, stopping off at every town and city, getting everybody's support for the cause. They've held marches on Parliament and things all over the place that nobody dreamed was even possible to get stoners organized. and this is the thing, we need to draw the distinction here. There's a difference between a stoner and right. a cannabis user, you know?
Right.
Yeah, there are stereotypes for a reason. Let's remember, there are such things as stoners. Believe me, we've all met them.
Sometimes we are them.
No, and sometimes it's a passing thing. But... You know, but this is the difference. You know, they've really got themselves organized. They are running a very large facility with clean toilets, and everything's running on time. They are selling, cannabis from the counter there. Okay, out of a dispensary, there are several strains of bud that you can purchase by the gram. You know, you get your own little fresh plastic bags to choose from, and all of that kind of stuff. No hands are ever put on your stuff. You know, it's a very amazing place that they've got it there. And when we first opened a while back, we had up to 11 different types of weed that you could buy when you were there. And that has never been seen in this country ever before, ever. You know, this they've really reached something here. And before it closed down, before the raid happened, they had 21 different strains available. You know, it's just absolutely incredible what they've managed to do. And more recently, there's been a lot more activity on the part of the Daiquiri, a bit more protesting going on. They've held these rallies, essentially just one-hour rallies, at busy times in the afternoon traffic on street corners at different places around the city in front of courthouses and things like that. They've got these enormous air horn sorts of things that just make an awful lot of noise, and everybody's got one. And, you know, you'd have to be deaf, blind, and dumb to not know that they were there. And some media's been reporting on it. It made the national airwaves on radio the other day. And it's getting a lot more attention. And like I said before, they've now packed up a whole bunch of weed and food and water, and they've road tripped it about 1,200 kilometres from Auckland, where the Daiquiri is, across the Cook Strait Channel on the ferry to get to the South Island, all the way down there to a little sleepy city that's been flattened by a recent earthquake at 6.3 on the Richter scale at a depth of 5 kilometres. Ripped the whole city apart, and a lot of people lost their grows in the quake. So the Daiquiri bus is on its way down there now to act as a mobile dispensary for all the people who lost their grows in the earthquake.
Well, I think that's pretty cool because in a state of emergency, I'm certain that, you know, in our country, like if we, you know, we got FEMA. Handle emergencies by the government, and I just don't see FEMA bringing out bags of pot along with food and supplies from the government. So yeah, you're right. There's a lot of herb users that, in a situation where there is a disaster, after they look and realize that their house has been blown away and their dog is dead, the next thing they realize is that they need to get high and there's no pot around.
Yeah, I mean, weed will get you through times of no money better than money will get you through times of no weed.
Amen. Amen. Dean, you're pretty quiet. Are you with us?
I'm here. I'm just listening. That was very interesting stuff about what's going on down there. You know, the fact of the matter is you have shown, or the populace has shown, that there's no blowback from changing the policy. In fact, there's less problems created within society if you just get over the hysteria, the propaganda, the fear. And get on with life. It's good stuff.
Well, you know, this is kind of the New Zealand way. We come from a settling type people, and not too long ago, in fact. We've only been around for like, 150, 200 years or something. You know, not a very old country by any standards. And I think that's one of our great strengths that we've still retained, is that we tend to just do things anyway. We have this saying in our country called, oh, she'll be right, meaning everything will be okay. Like, for example, one time I was doing community service for being arrested for cannabis, and we cleaned up this illegal grow operation in a national park. and put all the stuff back on the trailer. We had these two chairs that we found there. You know, obviously the growers had been tired from their walk through the bush and whatnot. So we put the two chairs on top of the trailer, and I was thinking, hey, man, these chairs are pretty high on top of the trailer, man, and we're going to be sitting on them while we're being towed down a rocky path behind a small little four-wheeler motorbike, you know, like a quad bike. Maybe this is a little bit dangerous. And the park ranger goes, no, she'll be right. And about 30 seconds into the trip, the trailer flips off a ledge. We go face first into the dirt, and the chair goes onto the back of our necks, and the trailer lands on top of us. And I'm kind of like pinned there with my head in the dirt going, yep, she'll be right.
Well, hey, look, that's the attitude they have about the drug war. No matter how horrible, no matter the consequences of empowering terrorists and barbarous cartels, giving reason for the violent gangs to exist, making sure children have the easiest access. And they keep telling us, well, don't worry, she'll be all right. You know, it's just crazy.
You're right.
That sums up the New Zealand people to a T. It's crazy. Oh, look, we've got so many stoners here, eh? Like, seriously, it's interesting how prohibition actually causes more people to smoke weed. So the drug war, like, is the exact opposite of what its stated goal is. So therefore, it must have another goal. What is
right.
it?
Right.
What is
exactly.
it? You know, take away all the propaganda, all the things. What is the direct advantage that a drug war has?
It allows these politicians, these law enforcement officials, and other, you know, drug war addicts to change the rule of law to the rule of force, and that's what it's all about. It's to make drug users unconditionally exterminable. They certainly are here in the U.S. They can shoot you in the head. They can kill your kids. Stomp your dog, anything they want, if they just think that there's drugs in that house. Replacing the rule of law with the rule of force. That's what it's all about.
Yeah. Well, so many stories start out like that, isn't it? Yeah. Somebody got a little bit smart to a police officer, so therefore he gets mace in his face and he gets tasered, and then his dog starts barking, so it gets shot. Hey, that's happened before. I'm sure it'll happen again.
Right. You know, and one thing, you know, it's one thing to be tasered against your will. And it's another, you know, sometimes to be tasered because it's fun. But that's a difference. That's a different program. What we need to do, though, is stop. And
we like barbecue.
We want to take a commercial break and pay our bills here. And please, everybody, those who are listening, let our sponsors know that you heard about them here on the program. And get involved in norml.org. We want to thank the Dankery for being nice.
The Dankery
for being nice.
It's like factory with a D, Dankery.
For helping the people in a disaster zone and being a fine example of doing that. You at home, please pack up a great big bowl and share us in it with your friends. And when we come back, we're going to wrap up the show here at Time for Hemp. Get your smoke on. Be loud, be proud. Let everybody know that you are a marijuana smoker. Come out of the closet. Don't be afraid. It would rock if all of a sudden 72 million people just showed up at the police stations in their communities and said, hey, you know, like, dude, I got this ounce in my pocket, and I'm thinking maybe you should, like, bust me. It would clog the system. It'd be pretty funny. But I just don't see that many people having that much cojones to make that happen. But you can go to NORML.org and find a chapter in your neck of the woods. And if there's not one, start one. Because if you know the truth and you're just sitting around watching reruns of Lucy and American Idol, well, baby, you're part of the problem. So stop that. Get up, get active, and be part of the solution. On the program today, I have two fine journalists on my program. It's an honor to stand shoulder to shoulder in the same foxholes with these individuals. We have Vinnie Eastwood, who has a new program on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And we also have Dean Becker, who has his own program, DrugTruth.net. Go to DrugTruth.net. Check that out. And I want both these individuals to share their programs with you. And but before I do, I also want to give a shout out to American Freedom Radio and the hard staff that work there and thank them for being strong enough to bring the message of how marijuana can save the world to you. You guys rock. All right. Dean, you've been quiet. And our guest, Vinny, you're never quiet. You rock. That's why you got a busy show, too. What's coming up on your program and how can they find you?
You asking me, Casper? This is Dean.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I got a couple of great guests. One, we're going to have Mr. Kevin Zeese. He's president of Common Sense for Drug Policy. He's an attorney, a gentleman I first met when he was leading a caravan across Texas with big marijuana leaves and patient photos on the side. Kevin Zeese, he's the gentleman. We'll be talking about what I was mentioning a while ago, the replacement of the rule of force over the rule of law. And we're going to be talking about, you know, WikiLeaks and Bradley Manning and all kinds of government subterfuge and shenanigans. And then on the other program, we're going to feature Mr. Joseph Collum. He's author of The Black Dragon, Racial Profiling Exposed. It tells the story of what happened specifically in New Jersey, where actually the New Jersey state troopers were sent to other states to show them how to do their racial profiling without getting caught. But of course,
you're kidding.
No, that's true.
Wow.
But, you know, we'll have our usual report from Terry Nelson of Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, Mary Jane Borden from Drug War Facts, as well as some other things. And we'll be kicking around about this crazy, crazy drug war.
Fantastic.
That you can listen live if you go to kpft.org. That's 6:30 Sunday night Central Time. That's when it all begins. And if not, you can check it out starting Monday morning at drugtruth.net. We have thousands of programs and hundreds with their written transcripts as well. Casper, keep up the good work, my friend. This is a great show. Vincent, I wish you guys a great success. Show us how it's done, please.
Yay, man.
Well, I think it's apt for the Americans with all their resources and all their terrible police state measures to ask the New Zealanders with all their powerlessness and all their she'll be right, even though everything's going all to hell in a handbasket type nature, to ask us how to do it.
But at least in regards to cannabis.
Yeah. In so many ways. one theory that I have of why there's so many marijuana smokers in this country is because we have a hole in the ozone layer. And as you notice, when you grow cannabis under UV lights, they get a lot more crystals that form up to them on THC. So essentially, we've got stronger UV and the cannabis crystals grow so that the plant can protect itself from the harmful UV radiation. So we've got stronger bud than anywhere else.
Fantastic. Now, Vinny, again, tell people about your show, how they can find you, any guests you got coming up.
Oh, yeah. Well, this morning, in case you haven't heard, ladies and gentlemen, there's been a massive 8.9 earthquake just off the coast of Japan. I'm having Benjamin Fulford, the former contributor or something to Forbes magazine, who's interviewed David Rockefeller before, on my show for the first hour today, 5 till 6 p.m. Central. I'll have him on. And in the second hour of the program, we have a detractor from New Zealand who's trying to say that celestial objects and science don't mix. Essentially, there was a guy who predicted the earthquake in Christchurch would happen, and he's predicting another earthquake to happen on March 20th, which is in a couple of days, it's a little more than a week away. And the media has accused him of fear-mongering and saying that there is no science behind celestial objects, you know, like, for example, the moon or Jupiter or Saturn lining up in an exact fashion or anything has no effect whatsoever on earthquake activity, according to mainstream media and the government. But then again, they've never been right too much on a lot of things, have they?
Now, is your program on twice a week?
It's on 5 days a week, so it's Monday through Friday, 5 till 7 Central on American Freedom Radio, and incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. We've got amazing archives with pretty incredible guests. We've interviewed people such as Jason Burmis and Webster Tarpley and Cindy Sheehan, Rick Simpson, and Kerry Cassidy from Project Plot. So we cover a lot of things, including Lucy Lawless as well.
I want to thank you for being a guest on the program, and Dean will have you back on next Friday. Vinny will have you back on as a host in the future. And those of you out there, when you're listening, just know, when you hear me, you know that it is time for hemp.
Take another look and say some time for hemp. Don't cut me through.